Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations, shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us."
Thanks be to God.
Advent is one of those times of the year when we can start thinking that we can fall into the same comfortable pattern of singing familiar Advent carols and lighting Advent candles and anticipating Christmas and hearing endless refrains of Rudolph and White Christmas as we shop for presents. But today, I'd like to suggest something a little different. The text that we read during Advent includes some familiar stories, like John the Baptizer telling us that he is not the Messiah who will baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And during this season, we also get lots of prophecy from Isaiah, as Tom just read. We hear of the wolf and the lamb lying down together and living in harmony. We hear about the shoot of Jesse sprouting up from a stump. And we get, on this first Sunday of Advent, a prophecy of peace, of an anything but familiar way of living in the world. Today's text comes from the first of three different sections in the book of Isaiah, and it sounds almost like a pilgrimage psalm. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. This chapter reinforces the idea of Jerusalem, the mountain of the Lord, that it's the home of God. And even though we think of God as being everywhere, not just in Jerusalem, the writer is setting the reign of God over and above all the empires of this world. First Assyria and Babylon, then Rome, then London, then Washington. That implies that it's not going to be business as usual in God's world, that something new is going to happen. You know, I was struck this past week by Pope Francis's visit to Japan, especially to the atomic bombing sites of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. While we were visiting my son Cameron in Japan last spring, Jane Ann and I had the opportunity to visit Hiroshima. And one of the things that I didn't notice, but I thank Kathy Hauser for, is that we have peace cranes as part of our Advent regalia here this morning. Thank you. And peace cranes, of course, have a long history with Hiroshima. And that's why we adorn our sanctuary with them, thanks to Sarah Lee, who is an amazing origami folder. Anyway, one of the things that was especially moving for us was being an American in a city that had experienced something so profoundly devastating. It's not easy to be an American and to visit the city that was leveled by an atomic bomb dropped by our nation to try and end the Second World War. When we were there, one of the things that we noticed was a conspicuous absence, or at least a scarcity, of Americans who were in Hiroshima, and especially visiting the museum that details life in Hiroshima before, during, and then after the nuclear bombing. one of the artifacts that was particularly touching for me was seeing a child's tricycle that had been twisted and burned in the blast. My dad served in the Pacific during World War II, and later in the war, he was a B-17 pilot. So it had some deep personal resonances for me. Without judging whether the use of atomic weapons was an appropriate decision, all of us can acknowledge that it happened and that there were extraordinary casualties. And it was there in Japan, the only nation to endure an atomic bombing, that Pope Francis called for a world free of nuclear weapons, saying the use of atomic energy for the purposes of war is immoral, and that we will be judged on this. That is a new thing. That is kingdom talk. That is not empire talk. It's a radical departure from what we consider the normalcy of civilization. Every year, our nation spends about $50 billion on the nuclear weapons industry. Imagine what else we might do with that $50 billion. The Hebrew prophets Isaiah, Micah, and Joel all use the imagery of beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. That's what you heard from Isaiah today. And that's also what Pope Francis was saying. $50 billion can provide a lot of plowshares. Could we ever consider anything that radical? You know, Jesus was radical in ways that John the Baptizer never was. John came offering a baptism for the repentance of sins, and Jesus came healing the sick and proclaiming God's liberating reign. In other words, that kingdom of God that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, he's talking about regime change. Regime change through the movement of the Holy Spirit. Walter Brueggemann, who's a UCC theologian, writes, "Being baptized with God's Holy Spirit means that we may be visited by a spirit of openness, generosity, energy, that the force may come over us, carry us to do obedient things we have not yet done, kingdom things we didn't think we had in us to do, neighbor things from which we cringe." The whole tenor of Advent, he says, is that God may act in us, through us, beyond us, more than we imagined, because newness is on its way among us. John is not the newness. He prepares us for the newness. Advent is preparing for the demands of newness that will break our tired patterns of fear in our lives. What do you think are the tired patterns of fear that keep our nation hamstrung? What is holding us back? Could we find a new way, a kingdom way, to share the abundance God has entrusted to us? Could we find a new way to focus our efforts on collective good rather than simply our individual well-being and our economic self-interest? What are the patterns of fear in your own life? Could you find a new way, a kingdom way, of understanding and sharing the abundance that God has entrusted to you? Could you let go of thinking that somehow you are an inadequate parent, partner, husband, wife, son, daughter, and perhaps see in yourself what God already sees there? Could you let go of some of the, well, what ifs in your life and simply live in the moment? Could you let go of some of that attitude of scarcity, that there's never enough, And instead, focus on the abundance that God has given you, not just in economic terms, but in terms of time, in terms of relationships, in terms of love, in terms of faith. Are you ready for some newness to break forth in Advent this year? You know, today is the first day of the new church year, so it's not a bad time for a few resolutions. And if you're ready for some newness to break forth, what might you ask God to help you with? The wonder of our faith is that you are not alone. You don't have to muscle through the tough times and the tough changes on your own, because God is with you every step of the way. And you have a company of companions to join you on this journey. Will you pray with me? God, we ask for you to accompany us on our Advent journey. May we take time to be present with you, with those we love, and with ourselves. May we be gentle with the people around us and with ourselves. And may we be alert to the changes you may be calling forth within us and among us. And may we keep awake to the newness that Advent brings. Amen.